SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this Thursday. What?
Yeah.
He's getting fired up. All right.
Yeah.
Literally, every time you say something, when I'm doing the intro to start a segment, I can't really hear you all that much, and it scares me, man.
Yeah.
You know?
The voice is strong, Ben. I think you can go an extra hour after this one. I think the radio is in for the surprise. We're ready.
Yeah. I got to do a couple of reads. We got to get the people promoted here on this network. I was really worried. You guys didn't hear it. Maybe you did at the very start of the show. Sounded like I ate a frog, though, to begin today.
Yeah.
Just even talking to my coworkers before we went live on air. Wasn't sure we would make it for these 3 hours. What is he doing? This is one of the craziest starts to an hour. Okay.
Hold on. All right.
All right. You want me to keep talking? Yeah.
Hey, it's Donnie Wrightside, host of the Early Line, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, the winning edge in late nights, dissecting XFIP and BABIP before every MLB card. It's scouring weather reports in the Midwest to see where the ball might carry just a few extra feet and seeing it's where hitters have the most success on Tuesdays. There you go. I'm ready to go. There you go.
That was good.
Live
read.
Was
that recorded?
Live read.
Were we recording right there? Did we hit?
No, I did. Start? I did it ahead of time. I'm professional. I do it, you know.
That was good.
On my own terms when I feel good. But there you go. Just wanted to get that out there for the people, though. Anybody need an ad read? Come to me. Let's go.
Can I ask you something sincerely? My ad read is a little bit more about college basketball, which, of course, is my bread and butter.
Want me to read it to you?
Were you a little bit disappointed? How did you feel about being the baseball guy? Was that okay?
I like being the baseball guy, though. Yeah, I love baseball. Like, I'm baseball's on the horizon. We got to get the information out to the people, and it's just what we do. So, they use the better voices on the air for the ad reads on this company. So, when they, you know, they come to certain people and they need things done, you know? Sure.
And I was not sure at the start of today's show if this voice would hold up either throughout the entirety of our 3 hours, football full circle, let alone an ad read. So, I'm glad we have made it this far. Yeah. And
Hold on. One more thing.
Your show, brother. Like, go ahead. Take it away.
Like me and you, like ad reads there, one take and done out the window. Now, I won't use a name, but I understand it would be like this.
Yeah, we know.
All right, it's baseball season. Hold on, guys. Can we do it again?
We know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Everybody that knows Donnie Wrightside knows who you are talking about. Yep. Ugly scene. I don't think he's watching or listening at this moment right now. All right, we're starting off hour number three, as we often do, by hearing from the people. So much going on right now in the sports calendar. Final week of the regular season at the high major level in college basketball. Conference tournaments with three more tourneys starting on this Tuesday. 9-game slate around the NBA. But it's also tag deadline day in the NFL. If a player on a roster is going to be placed under the franchise or transition tag, it must happen by 4 p.m. Eastern time on this Tuesday afternoon. Will that be the case for Sam Darnold in Minnesota? More than likely not. So if he does become a free agent and test those waters, where does he end up this offseason? Question for all of you in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which team will Sam Darnold sign with in the offseason? We listed three, and we gave you the option for a reply if you selected other. The Raiders, the Steelers, or back in the Twin Cities, or, of course, the other. And, Donnie, most of the public, nearly 45% of the vote, saying that Sam Darnold is about to be a Raider.
By the way, I can't fault that here because, you know, the arguments that I put up, Ben, with, like, the quarterback play in the NFL, like Matthew Stafford, hey, bad football team getting a 37-year-old quarterback doesn't make some sense. We have to understand this. Now, he's 27 now. He'll be 28 in June, which is still right in the middle of your prime in 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. You can get 5, 6, 7, 8 years out of Sam Darnold if you believe he is your franchise guy. Is he a product of a system with Kevin O'Connell that was absolutely fantastic in setting him up and putting him in the best possible position? Could be. Did we see the real Sam Darnold return in the final two games of the season? Could be. But I sort of softened my stance a little bit and can agree with the public, even though I didn't vote that way, with the Raiders. They're a bad football team. They need a lot of help. But could it be where Darnold can be good enough over the next 2 to 3 seasons that by the time they flip that roster around, he can still be in his prime? See, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When we talk about Matthew Stafford going to the Raiders, hey, in 2 or 3 years when they flip it around, well, he's 40 and he's done at that point. So Darnold is still in his prime. And if you have Chip Kelly as an offensive coordinator, maybe you can get innovative and really help him out. It makes sense. But for me, I did actually vote for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, not because Arthur Smith is there and that's the key to unlock Sam Darnold on top of what we saw last year. But I just think the Steelers are still in win-now mode, if that makes sense. Getting a quarterback that you can trust in his late 20s, that's going to be better than what you had with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields last year. So that's why I voted for the Steelers. But I am starting to soften my stance on Sam Darnold going to a team that's bad because he's still going to be his prime when we think they're going to be good, Ben, in just a few years.
So, Donnie, I think you laid it out really well right there. I think the two options that make the most sense are the Raiders and the Steelers. I don't think the Vikings need him back. It's the J.J. McCarthy show now in Minneapolis. I don't think the Vikings are going to want to spend the money necessary to bring Sam Darnold back just to be in a quarterback battle at best or more than likely their backup quarterback. Sam Darnold was a Pro Bowler this year. It is the only year in his 7-year NFL career that Sam Darnold has been a Pro Bowler. Now, I don't say that just to slight the guy. He was sensational this season. Look at the stats that we are seeing on our screen. More than 4,300 passing yards, 35 touchdowns was incredible for the Vikings. But if you are skeptical of Sam Darnold as a franchise quarterback, as a successful quarterback, frankly, as a QB to move the needle, to make a mediocre team a playoff contender, I do understand it. And I think we saw that on full display in week number 18 against the Lions and, of course, in the wild card round against the LA Rams. I believe Sam Darnold is going to get paid, but I think Sam Darnold is probably better served going to a place like Las Vegas, which is where I voted, with limited expectation to make a bad team successful, to provide that stable floor for this Las Vegas Raiders organization, which is what we have always seen, where the upside of anything above 6 or 7 games would be sensational. Not in Pittsburgh, Donnie, where if you go to the Steelers, we know what the base level is. We know what Pittsburgh expects. And we know what now is needed in the Steel City. Winning games, having an above 500 record, that's not satiating the franchise. That's not enough for the fan base at this moment. I don't know if that's enough to bring Mike Tomlin back for a 19th consecutive season following this year. So I do believe Sam Darnold makes some success for the Steelers. I think more than likely, though, the best fit for Darnold is in Las Vegas. But as you laid out, DRS, I really do think it leads to your evaluation of Sam Darnold. Do you believe that he moves the needle? Do you believe that he elevates a ceiling for a playoff contender? If you do, as an organization, as a franchise and fan base, then he does make a ton of sense for the Steelers.
He does, because there's, and again, we're not saying that Sam Darnold goes to the Steelers, watch out, they're going to win the AFC North, and away they go into the AFC, you know, playoffs at that point. But I do think he's a more competent quarterback. And also, if we can bring that graphic back up, we talk so much about Matthew Stafford, who I really like 20 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Like, if you say, okay, let's blur out the name and put a silhouette there of the player and go, wait a second, 4,300 yards, 35 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Everybody would want this guy as your quarterback. But just because we watched the final two games, we can't trust any of those statistics at this point. And you might also tell me, because on the, you know, we ask like the other reply here, one of those from my guy Biggie Small says the Giants. The reason I disagree with the Giants is the Giants should be in a mode of they're close enough to trade up and actually get their franchise guy. The Raiders are a little bit far back, where it might be too expensive to move up. That's why Darnold will make more sense, even though both of those franchises based on common ground with expectations coming into next season. But again, as I said, softening my blow here for the Raiders, where if they had to go to Darnold, I'm not going to be all that upset as I was just a week ago thinking it was going to be Matthew Stafford.
Raiders' second most cap space this offseason as well. Action around the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nine-game slate around Hold the on. NBA on this Tuesday night. I know you're just doing this for the bit now, my friend, so I will power through. Our producer, Joe Friezo, thinks he's a funny guy. Finals preview tonight between the Golden State Warriors and the New York Knicks inside Madison Square Garden. Not going to be a finals preview. However, the Dubs playing good basketball with Jimmy Butler in the fold. They have won 8 of 9 games with Jimmy Butler in the starting five. They have covered in all 8 victories, including last night, winning by 18 against the lowly Charlotte Hornets. But tonight, the Warriors not a favorite. In fact, they are an underdog inside Madison Square Garden. 4.5 points in favor of the Knickerbockers, total at 228.5. DRS, what's the play tonight in MSG?
I'm buying the Knicks tonight. I am. Opened up at 3.5 here in New Jersey. Moved to 5, as you see in that graphic. Now settling in at 4.5. The total down. How about that? 231.5. Down to 228.5. But the band is back together here for the Knicks. You have Brunson, Bridges, Hart, Anunoby, and Carl Anthony Towns in that starting lineup. At home in the Garden, I think they come to play, and they'll be able to beat the Golden State Warriors by 5-plus points tonight and get the cover. Give me the Knicks tonight in the Garden.
6 games for the New York Knicks since the All-Star break. They have won 4 of 6. Their 2 losses against the Cavs and the Celtics. That has been the story this year for New York. Only 1 cover, though, an outright win against Memphis to start off the weekend this past weekend as an underdog. And DRS, those totals looking a lot different right now for the Knicks than they did before the All-Star break. Often 240+, now 228.5. The Knickerbockers have gone under in 4 of 6 games since returning from the All-Star break, as JY laid out. Could that be the Mitchell Robinson difference? Only 4 teams rather around the NBA have won at least 40 games. That now includes New York, who has won 3 straight, 40 and 20 straight up. But because of the way Golden State has been performing, they're out of the play-in tournament mix at this moment. Half game lead for the 6th spot in front of the LA Clippers. Can Los Angeles make things a little bit difficult for Golden State tonight if they go to the Valley and get a win against the Suns? 2-point spread in favor of the Clips in Phoenix against those struggling Suns. Are we even expecting Phoenix to keep this game close any longer?
Yeah, it's the tough part about it, too, because there's 2 angles to this game. The Clippers coming out of the break, as you pointed out, not playing great basketball by any stretch. No. Norm Powell, one of their better basketball players, still struggling with injury. Maybe that's a key cog in the offense that they haven't had, and they have some struggles. Still Harden and Kawhi Leonard are there. They should be fine. But when you look at the Phoenix Suns, there's 2 things to look at. Like, again, Booker, Durant, and Beal expected to be in the starting lineup tonight, and they're getting points. But there comes a point in the season where everybody has checked out for the Phoenix Suns. And that's hard to bet against. If this game, let's just say, Ben, was 3 weeks previous than it was tonight, and that line the same with the same starting lineups, I would be taking the Phoenix Suns saying, yeah, I'll take a chance. Plus, you at home here with a healthy Suns team trying to make it to the playoffs. It just looks like the plug has been pulled from the Phoenix Suns. And granted, I'm going to take the Clippers tonight, lay the 2 points that are currently listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If they lose, then so be it. Like, hey, the Clippers rose up. But the one thing, you know what I can't get down with is I'm like, you know what? Give me Phoenix +2, and they get dropped by double digits on their home court and say, you knew exactly what was supposed to happen in this game. Not even Ben X's and O's wise or talent wise. The Suns look like they have given up, and it's hard for me to back a team that's given up.
They have lost 5 of 7 since returning from the All-Star break. Donnie, Phoenix was disappointing earlier in the regular season. And even at the end of January, they were still 3 games above 500, 25 and 22. That wasn't the expectation we had set for the Suns entering the year with so much talent. And yet they were still at least 3 games above 500, floundering around a play-in tournament position. Phoenix, since that point, in the month of February, 3-10. And now with their first game in March, a loss over the weekend at home against Minnesota, they have lost 11 of their last 14. It has been bad for the Suns. They have been booked as a dog twice since the All-Star break. 1-1 against the number this year as an underdog, 8-14 against the spread. The Clippers have not been great, as we have shared. They have dropped 5 of 6 since the All-Star break. They have not covered in any of those 6 games. And we're not expecting Norman Powell tonight, dealing with a hamstring injury. But you really just kind of give up on the Suns unless they turn things around and show even a sense of life down the home stretch of this season. The Houston Rockets, also near the end of January, were playing much better basketball, 32-14. They have now lost 10 of their last 15, even though they covered on the road last night in OKC, losing by 9 as a double-digit dog. The Rockets have dropped 7 straight on the road. Second leg of a road back-to-back. They head to Indianapolis. 3.5-point spread in favor of the Pacers. Total 231 and a hook. Do the road woes continue for the Rockets tonight?
I'm going to back them. I agree with this line movement, by the way. Ooh. Opened up at -4 here in New Jersey overnight, down to 3.5. I'm going to take the Houston Rockets. Looks like we got the full deck that we're hoping tonight. Fred VanVleet, Green, Thompson, Brooks, and Şengün in the starting lineup. I believe they'll be able to keep it close. And as Coach pointed out when he was with us, maybe a throwaway game last night, but still played to under double digits here. Yes, it's a back-to-back. It's tough, but rested some guys. VanVleet played on the first of the month and now should be back in this game as well. The point guard that you need in times to keep a game close, he should be able to provide that. I'm going to back a young Rockets team on the road, which, again, if you're getting 3.5 points, you think there needs to be a legitimate chance they can win this game. And I think they can. Yeah. Give me the Rockets tonight over the Pacers.
Would snap that 7-game road skid for Houston, who is still 17-13 straight up away from H-Town this year, 18-11-1 against the spread. And as a dog, they did cover last night against the Thunder, 12-7-1 ATS, second best cover percentage, booked as an underdog this year around the NBA. Every game down the home stretch, critical for both of these teams that are in their respective 5 spots in conference standings. Indiana, same exact record as Milwaukee, but based on some tiebreakers. The Bucks have the 4 seed, Indiana the 5 seed. The Rockets, as they have kind of been in a tailspin as of late, 5 seed in the Western Conference, but only a game behind Memphis, who, much like the Rockets, also kind of struggling here in this second half and down the stretch run. It is a 9-game slate in the NBA. There is plenty more to preview on the other side of the break. Can the Lakers make it 7 wins in a row? The longest active win streak right now at 6 in the Western Conference. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The longest active win streak in the NBA's Western Conference belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. 6 straight wins for LA, hoping to make it 7 straight at home tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. 8.5-point spread in favor of Los Angeles. Total it to 29. DRS, when you look at the Pelicans this year and you see a 17-44 team, you would think this would be a comfortable win for the Lakers at home tonight. But New Orleans playing much better basketball as of late. How competitive will we see it tonight in LA? Will it keep the Lakers from winning their 7th straight?
Look, I do think the Lakers are going to win this game. They're favored to do so. Open up at 7.5, now sits at 8.5. But understand this, there are some points in an NBA season where your team is out of it like the Pelicans, but also you're going to get up for bigger environments. When you go to Madison Square Garden and take on the New York Knicks, when you play maybe an upper level team in a division or a conference, but also includes the Los Angeles Lakers at home at night, 7:30 tip out on the West Coast. If there's one game the Pelicans want to show out on, it's going to be this one. And look at their anticipated starting lineup tonight. McCollum, Murphy, Williamson, Olenek and Misi in the lineup. So full go as you can get for the Pelicans. I think they'll be good in this game, or should I say good enough to hang around. Do I think they can win this game? Probably not. Lakers are good. LeBron will be there. Luka Doncic will be there. But give me the Pelicans with the 8.5 tonight as one of those, you know, non-public underdogs where it seems like everybody's glomming onto the Lakers, and rightfully so. They're playing great basketball. Pelicans surprise tonight. Keep it close.
The Pels have won 5 of their last 7, including a few outright as an underdog. In their 2 losses in this 7-game span, They have not covered the number, both as an underdog. The Lakers have played 7 games since returning from the All-Star break. They have won 6. They have won 6 in a row, as we have shared. They have covered in 5 of these 6 wins. Donnie, the Lakers have been under in all 7 games since the All-Star break. So we'll see about that total of 229 tonight. Let's keep it going around the association with this 9-game slate in the NBA. Lakers had the longest active win streak in the Western Conference, 6 in a row. Once again this season, as we have said many times, the longest active win streak in the Eastern Conference and around the entirety of the NBA. That's the NBA's best team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. 10 straight wins, hoping for 11 straight tonight on the road in the Windy City against the Bulls. 12.5-point spread in favor of the Cavaliers. Total at 242.5. How competitive will tonight's game be inside the United Center?
I think it'll be competitive, and I do think that the Cleveland Cavaliers win. Do I want to lay close to 2 touchdowns in this one? Not necessarily, even though I do think there's a legitimate chance they can do that. However, the 245.5 at the opening number overnight here at the FanDuel Sportsbook in New Jersey has dropped to 242.5, and I think there is value. You just take a look at the past couple games for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 133, 129, 123, 116. You know, you see the Cavaliers, and by the way, just dating back, this is a team routinely, Ben, over 125-plus points, and I think the tempo will be there. The chance for a blowout, yes. But the 242, I'll buy the dip in the market right now. Down 3 points. I think they can get close to 245 in this. So 242.5 makes some sense for me. Give me the over.
So 2 teams, DRS, at that 50-win benchmark. Oklahoma City behind SGA's 51-point performance last night, but 11 losses. 50-10, the record for Cleveland. 1 fewer loss than that of the Thunder, thus the best record in the NBA. And as we have often shared, the Cavaliers are the best in the association at many things. Best straight-up record, best cover team in the NBA, 39-20-1 against the spread. The only team covering in more than 61% of games, and that's a 66.1% cover percentage. Also the highest over percentage in the association as well. I do see what you are saying there in terms of our total tonight. Again, when you look at the Bulls, a team that, as we might expect, in a play-in tournament position, holding on to that 4th and final play-in tourney spot, 10 seed in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers lose last night. The Nets as well, both teams 2.5 games behind Chicago. Other spots in our 9-game slate around the NBA tonight. Atlanta, a win at the buzzer last night on the road in Memphis. Back home, 7-point home dog against the Milwaukee Bucks. Orlando, really trying to figure things out. 7.5-point home favorite against the Raptors. And the Timberwolves, Donnie, what a spot for them. 14-point home favorite against the 76ers.
Yeah, and by the way, they're going to get slapped in that game, the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. That game was around like 11.5, like before even done the show. Moving up, why? Eric Gordon, obviously, you know, has been out for some time, but Paul George, Kelly Oubre, Quentin Grimes on that list of we don't know if they're playing tonight, and they shouldn't play tonight. Your goal is not to win basketball games. I think they get drilled tonight, by the way.
Groin soreness, hey-o, for Podcast P, despite putting away his media obligation. What a Tuesday night in college hoops. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Tuesday night in college basketball. The entirety of this year has been sensational, especially in conference action. But when you mix the final week of the regular season at the high major level with 3 more conference tournaments beginning on this Tuesday, what more could you ask for? Including a top 25 tilt in the SEC that features the number 1 team in the country. Auburn, 5.5-point road favorite tonight in College Station, taking on Texas A&M, who has fallen all the way back to number 22 in the AP poll. Why? The Aggies have dropped 4 consecutive games. Donnie, if March is about playing your best basketball, Buzz Williams' team is not doing that at this moment. Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers, the number 1 team in the nation, they certainly are. 6 consecutive victories, 3 in a row by at least 12 points, but a 5.5-point spread tonight. Can Texas A&M stay in this ball game and maybe even snap their 4-game slide?
Yeah, it's not a bad matchup for Texas A&M. And again, you're the home team here, so you do have an advantage. Auburn's still looking to record that, you know, outright SEC championship. So still a lot on the line. The Texas A&M defense will turn you over. However, Auburn's offense, very good in conference play, Bennett, not turning the basketball over. When you take a look at Texas A&M's defense, they don't defend the three-point line all that well. 13th out of 16 teams, and also 16th out of volume from the three-point line. Close to 50% of the total shots against A&M's defense comes from the three-point shot. But also, Auburn doesn't like to shoot a lot, but they should win this basketball game. But flip it over to A&M. They don't do a lot right here on offense, but there are a couple of indicators where they might be able to stick around. They rebound the ball extremely well on offense when Auburn's not a great defensive rebounding team. And also, 16 out of 16 teams at fouling, that's Auburn's defense. Third at getting to the line, that's Texas A&M's offense here. I do think they can keep the game close. I wish I had something better, like, hey, you know what? It's going to be a runaway victory on both sides. It's one where I see deficiencies and efficiencies on both sides tonight. If I was just being the contrarian better, it probably is taking Texas A&M at +5.5 at home because they do have a somewhat decent matchup. But if Auburn goes on the road and shoots a three-point shot, let's just say above their 37% like they shoot on the season, you're not beating Auburn tonight. You're not even going to cover against them. But I think A&M can hang around in this one.
Auburn has gone over in 8 of their last 10, including 3 in a row. What a win inside Rupp Arena for Auburn. Their first since 1988 against Kentucky on the road on Saturday, 94-78. And Jani Broom didn't even score in double figures. Miles Kelly, a 30-point performance, and was great from deep. Auburn's going to clinch that outright SEC title, but DRS, as the Tigers will let you know, they are looking to go perfect on the road in SEC play. Can do that tonight with another quad one win. Auburn's quad one record is 16-2. It is ridiculous how good this Tigers team has been this year. I don't really see that slowing up. Can A&M keep the game close? The odds makers are expecting that, but the Aggies have been very disappointing as of late. Let's get to the Big 12. We have always said, Donnie, when fully healthy, T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State, a really good team. Keyshawn Gilbert back this weekend. Big statement victory for the Cyclones. Hoping to stack that up once again inside Hilton Coliseum against the BYU team. Now 23rd in the country, making a run here into the month of March. 6 consecutive wins for Kevin Young's Cougars. They have covered in all 6 of those, including outright on the road as an underdog twice in that 6-game span. 9.5-point spread, though, inside Hilton Coliseum for Iowa State. What's the breakdown for this Big 12 battle?
Yeah, it's an expensive number. BYU is a good basketball team, in particular on offense, number one in conference play at efficiency. They can move it here, which includes they love to shoot the three-point shot. Almost 48% of their total shots come from three-point range. But Iowa State's defense, no slouch, number two overall in efficiency. But this game is going to be won on offense here by Iowa State. The one thing Iowa State does a little bit too much here, Ben, is turns the basketball over. Good for them, BYU's defense, 10th in conference play overall in efficiency, and 12th in conference play at turning you over. The three-point shots will be there because BYU will let you shoot those. Healthy back in the lineup, that starting lineup for Iowa State. I look at this game and say, all right, if BYU can have a good offensive performance, which I'm hoping, that'll push Iowa State even more on offense themselves. 79.5 earlier today was that team total here for Iowa State. I believe they play into the 80s tonight with a victory. Not looking really for a cover from my side, but I do know that BYU can get hot, maybe pull the upset. Just give me the points here with Iowa State. They'll get into the 80s themselves. We'll let the less remain.
I think it's a great look, DRS. I lean to the over as well. BYU, as we mentioned, winners of 6 straight. And because of an offense that is shooting so well from 3 right now, know the name Richie Saunders. He has done some great things for the Cougs. That's not even their top guy in Yegor Demon, who has been really good this year as well. DRS, when you look at BYU, over an 8 of their last 12, and with a fully healthy Iowa State rotation, Keyshawn Gilbert in the second game back, Milan Momcilovic has been great this year. Give me some points tonight in Ames, Iowa. I really like that look. Let's go around the nation in college basketball. Teams that are ranked in the top 25. Number 16, Memphis, with a road win tonight at UTSA, can clinch at least a share of the AAC regular season crown, their first conference title in more than a decade, if they beat the Roadrunners of UTSA in San Antonio. 8.5-point spread in favor of Memphis. Purdue trying to hold on to a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Double-digit favorite against Rutgers at home. The Boilermakers snap a 4-game slide with a home victory against UCLA on Friday night. Kentucky DRS leaking a little bit of oil here, trying to play their best basketball going against one of the worst teams in the SEC, LSU. Only one quad one win this year. Double-digit favorite inside Rupp Arena.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one to watch because we know that, you know, fresh off of not playing the best teams in the country, Kentucky can really get up and down the court against a team that's not so good in LSU that makes some sense. We did bring up one of those interesting ones where we're talking about, you know, Rutgers and Purdue and what you're going to get out of that basketball game. The one thing we do know is Purdue is really good on offense and really efficient, and Rutgers doesn't play a lick of defense, 14th out of 18th in defensive efficiency, doesn't defend the three-point line all that well, even inside the arc. So Purdue is going to score, but a healthy Rutgers basketball team, when you take a look at Purdue, who will let you shoot the three-point shot, maybe they get it going tonight. Maybe a total between Rutgers and Purdue makes some sense because I'm done trusting Rutgers in big spots as if they can hang around. But the one thing I do know is you got to just look at the stats. They don't play defense. Their superstars are healthy. They should be able to score tonight. And we should hopefully get a decent tempo, even though Purdue, not a great tempo team. But if they're using the clock and scoring points, Rutgers might have to go a little bit helter-skelter there. Maybe a total, and that Rutgers-Purdue game makes some sense here.
151.5 is that number. Arizona trying to find better basketball. They had 1-6 straight, putting a scare into Houston, perhaps, atop the Big 12. They have dropped 4 of their last 6. But you got that territorial battle tonight in Tucson against ASU, a 4-14 team in Big 12 play. ASU, though, over in 8 of 9. The Wildcats of Arizona under in 5 of their last 6. Donnie, how about some bubble games tonight? A win and in potential for Indiana in the Pacific Northwest if they can upset Oregon in Eugene. A huge one for that Big Ten bubble. Nebraska and Ohio State in Columbus tonight. 5.5-point spread in North Carolina against Virginia Tech. UNC can't help their resume with a win over the Hokies, but they could damningly hurt their resume if they lose tonight in Blacksburg. What do you like in those games?
I tell you what's crazy about UNC, too, because you're right. There's usually a look-ahead situation where Duke is revved and ready to go, and all they want to do is beat them and not ruin their season, but sort of get that, ha, at least we got you there. You don't actually get to that game unless you beat Virginia Tech. So I expect an all-in effort tonight, even though it's on the road for UNC, knowing that they have a home game against Duke coming up this weekend. And also, you know, it's interesting to see about the ACC, like, Carolina has a very good ACC record, which in the past, it wouldn't be bubble. That's like a 2-line or a 3-line with the record they have. It just shows you how down the bottom half of the ACC is, where you're right, a road victory in the ACC doesn't even help them, but could crush their spirits when looking at the bubble. That's what's wild about this season.
A sole quad one win. That's it for UNC.
Come on.
If they beat Duke on Saturday, though, it might send the heels dancing. DRS, have a great time on the money line. John Rossi joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For the first of many times here in the month of March, John Rothstein joins us live on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Of course, on behalf of the FanDuel Sportsbook, doing great work, especially in the most important month of the year for CBS Sports. John, we are very pleased to welcome you on to the show today. This is the first appearance for you on TEL now in the most beautiful month of the season.
Ben, great to be with you as always. And yeah, this is March.
Yes, it certainly is. That is reflected in this Tuesday night slate, John. Final week of the regular season at the high major level in men's college basketball. 3 more conference tournaments into the fold on this Tuesday as well. But let's start by looking back on one of the two top 25 games we saw on a Monday in Houston. The Cougs take care of business. 6-point home win, 65-59. Handing Kansas, John, its 9th Big 12 loss of the season. John, in your estimation, was the story of this game for both sides, the story of the season for both schools.
Well, I think the big thing we need to keep in mind is that Kansas looked, I thought, Saturday against Texas Tech like it was going down a path that no program wants to go down on March 1st. But I thought it should be commended how the Jayhawks went into the Fertitta Center and fought. It's just, Ben, this is uncharted territory right now for Bill Self and Kansas. Kansas is set right now to be its lowest seed in the NCAA tournament under Bill Self. And during these last 2 years, we have really seen the past of the Big 12 at the top kind of hand things over to now the present of the Big 12 at the top. In the last two seasons in Big 12 regular season games, Houston is 33-4, while Kansas is 20-17.
It is crazy to see, John. Kansas has lost more than 8 Big 12 games in two consecutive seasons for the first time since 1981-82, and then the following year in 82-83. The Jayhawks did not make the big dance in either of those 2 years. They will make the NCAA tournament this year, but as John shared, one of a seed line for Bill Self and KU they are not used to seeing next to their name on Selection Sunday. Let's get to this fabulous Tuesday night slate in college basketball. The number one team of the nation, Auburn, on the road against number 22, Texas A&M. 5.5-point spread, John, in favor of the Tigers. If March is about playing your best basketball, Auburn is doing that. 6 wins in a row, their last 3 by at least 12 points, and started off March with their first win inside a Rupp Arena against Kentucky since 1988. How exactly is Auburn trending to playing their best basketball in the most important month of the year?
Well, we have seen Auburn be in a situation where it does not need certain players to play well for the Tigers to beat some of the best teams in the country. It's the totality of the parts for Auburn, which is really what makes it right now the dominant team in college basketball, and obviously the lock to be the number one overall seed on Selection Sunday. Jahni Broome is the player I'm going to vote as my national player of the year, but the Tigers are much more than one man.
9 points, only a couple of rebounds for Jahni Broome, despite a 16-point win in Lexington on Saturday. And, John, you took the words right out of my mouth. As we look at the Wharton Award odds currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook, after a recent sensational performance and perhaps, and more than likely, his final game inside Cameron Indoor, Cooper Flagg, now the minus money favorite, to win the Wharton Award on FanDuel at minus 180. Why do you give Jahni Broome the edge?
Well, it's real simple, and this is not to obviously diminish what Cooper Flagg has done during his season at Duke as a freshman, but the SEC is the best power conference that we have seen, you know, of our lifetime. And I don't think that's really, you know, an observation that, you know, should not be taken lightly. And I think the ACC, you can say unequivocally, is the worst ACC that we have seen in our lifetime. Auburn has also played the most difficult non-conference schedule in the history of Auburn's basketball program. With all things considered, when you consider the schedule that the Tigers have played, that is the firm reason why Jahni Broome, to me, is the national player of the year, not Cooper Flagg.
It sounds pretty easy to say, John, best player on the best team, but that is what Jahni Broome has been for Auburn this season. 16-2, the record for the Tigers in quad one games. John, you know my rule. In important times on the calendar, especially in the month of March, if you need to go because the phone is blowing up right now and you got some news that you need to share, you know you always have my word. You can do that.
That was not a breaking news call. I was dealing with that about a half an hour before I got in the air trying to cover the Utah search, so I can shed some light on that for you now. I tweeted this at the top of the hour. Dallas Mavericks assistant Alex Jensen is a primary candidate to fill the head coaching vacancy at Utah. No offer has been made to Jensen yet, a primary candidate to replace Craig Smith. Jensen played for Rick Majerus on the 1998 team that went to the national championship game at Utah and was also a longtime assistant for the Utah Jazz. So no offer has been made, but I can confirm and am reporting now that Dallas Mavericks assistant Alex Jensen is a primary candidate for the head coaching vacancy at Utah.
John Rothstein, he never sleeps, especially in the month of March. We've got some conference tournament action beginning today at the mid-major level. John, 3 leagues enter conference tournament week. Let's start in the Sun Belt with a gauntlet of a bracket as it is now designed. As we look at the Sun Belt tournament title odds, Who's a team that everybody needs to know on this list?
Well, Arkansas State is a team that won earlier this year at Memphis, so I'm looking closely at them. And also South Alabama under Richie Riley has had a very, very good season. This program has kind of done everything over the last, you know, half decade plus except playing the NCAA tournament. But, Ben, you know, we've talked about this a lot the last couple of years. Because of the lack of player retention now in college basketball, the seeding in these mid-major conference tournaments feel really obsolete. So you know what they say. College basketball, where the unexpected becomes the ordinary.
That is always the case. As we see reflected in the odds, John, the Red Wolves, the four seed in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. They have to play at least one more guaranteed game than the top two seeds, South Alabama and James Madison, and yet Arkansas State is that favorite. John Rothstein, as always, it is our absolute pleasure to have you here on the Early Line in the month of March. We wish you the best. We'll talk again next week. Plenty more to come on TEL. We'll continue to look at that college basketball slate up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We round out our 3 hours together live right here on this Tuesday. And we do so right now with a bit of breaking news around the NBA. From ESPN, Shams Charania, used to work for the FanDuel TV network. We have some breaking news out of Dallas. Dallas Mavericks All-Star Kyrie Irving has suffered a season-ending torn ACL in his left knee, sources tell ESPN. And of course, it was Kyrie last night going down awkwardly in the Mavericks game at home against the Sacramento Kings. He walked to the foul line with tears in his eyes, shot both free throws, and then exited after only 9 minutes of action. The Mavericks quickly came out and called it a left knee sprain. Obviously, that was not the extent of the injury. Kyrie Irving has suffered a season-ending torn ACL. Not good news for Dallas. Frankly, it has not been a fun month for Mavericks basketball. You trade away a beloved superstar in Luka Doncic. The fans absolutely revolt. The guy that you acquire in the deal, Anthony Davis, still playing at an all-NBA level, injured in his opening game after putting on a sensational performance inside American Airlines Arena. He's out for the foreseeable future, although AD should return before the playoffs and postseason do begin. And now you lose Kyrie Irving. On the day the Mavericks released, at least an update, upping season ticket prices. It is a franchise and an organization that has lost the plot in terms of their fan base. Now, that has nothing to do with the injuries to AD nor Kyrie. We wish them the best in their recovery, but it's just a sign of the times for this Mavericks franchise and how bad things are getting. Dallas is still comfortably in a play-in tournament spot around the Western Conference, but in that 10th and final, 32-30, two games above 500, but a 3.5 game advantage over the Phoenix Suns for that fourth and final play-in tournament position. If the Mavericks are going to see any form of the postseason in the NBA's Western Conference, they will do so without Kyrie Irving. Again, suffering an injury last night, a season-ending torn ACL injury for Kyrie Irving. More bad news for the Dallas Mavericks. All right, let's get back to college basketball. Some critical games to end out the regular season at the high major level. We've got some games that impact a conference championship in the regular season, like Memphis tonight on the road in San Antonio, 8.5-point favorite against UTSA. A win and at least a share for Penny Hardaway's Tigers of that AAC title. There will be a name that you'll probably know in just a couple of weeks if Memphis makes a run in the big dance. PJ Haggerty, one of the best guards in the country. He has scored 20-plus in three consecutive for Memphis entering tonight. I agree with Donnie Wrightside, who said we should see some points tonight inside Mac Arena. 151.5, that number for Purdue and Rutgers. Kentucky trying to find its best form here in the month of March. Same for Arizona, who has dropped four of its last six. Big game tonight against Arizona State in this matchup. Mississippi State also playing some really bad basketball. The fact the Bulldogs are even still in the AP top 25 kind of beyond me. 7.5-point spread in favor of the Bulldogs. They were blown out by more than 30 points last week against Alabama at home tonight in Starkville. 7.5-point favorite against Texas. The Longhorns, in terms of ESPN Joe Lenardi's latest bracket projections, part of a group that is known as the first four out. Texas trying to play its way back into the NCAA tournament. A road quad one victory tonight against Chris Jans and Mississippi State would go a long way. Can Arkansas hang on to the right side of that tournament bubble when you get beat by 30 and you hand South Carolina its second SEC win of the season? I think you should be automatically eliminated from NCAA tournament conversation. Arkansas right now on FanDuel, -110 to make the big dance. 6.5-point spread in favor of Vandy at home tonight against the Hogs in Nashville. That a bubble game, as are these. Oregon, 6.5-point favorite against Indiana. The Hoosiers pull the upset tonight in the Northwest. Mike Woodson is leading IU dancing despite being forced out in Bloomington. Bubble implications for both the Buckeyes and the Huskers tonight in Columbus. Ohio State -160 right now on FanDuel to make the big dance. Nebraska, after a costly home loss against Minnesota on Saturday, +210. I think the Huskers show up tonight. North Carolina needs to win tonight against Virginia Tech to make sure that Saturday's game against Duke could be a win and in potential for UNC. And a bunch of games there in the Big East. Georgia has to avoid a loss against South Carolina. It's March, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern, tomorrow on the Early Line.